The first lesson is from Acts, chapter 4. The next day, the rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick, and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read together the verses of Psalm 23.
"The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
The second lesson is from 1 John, chapter 3. "We know love by this, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and I invite the children to come forward.
Good morning, all. I was thinking about a few weeks ago, a few Mondays ago. Leona, you were with me, and we went to Port Angeles. Why did we go to Port Angeles?
We did a dog.
Port Angeles? That's Port Orchard. A few weeks ago, we went to baseball games in Port Angeles. I didn't think this was going to be a smart question. It was a Monday, and I had something to do.
Oh, passport.
I went, yeah, you came with me, I got my new passport, and we did a few other things, right? Where did we go?
We got food, right?
Got some food at Starbucks.
And we saw a police officer.
Some police officer there at Starbucks interviewing someone.
And we were guessing what drink he was going
to
get.
We were guessing what drink he was going to get.
He said he was
going to
get like a dark coffee, and I thought he was going to get something like not dark coffee.
Yeah. He thought he was going to have like an oat milk soy latte something or other. I figured, you know, nice black coffee would do it. I mean, we didn't see. We don't know who was right.
And I thought he would get a cake pop because to see if I got kind of that. And we saw a person, and they were driving wrong, so we called the cops on them. And then there was a person who saw them get pulled over. And
there was a lot that happened I did call the police because somebody had passed three times and almost killed people coming in the other direction along with themselves. That was scary. Getting there, but you're not helping me get there. We also went to the grocery store, as you may recall. We did the same thing.
Yeah. We got stuff for my cupcakes.
And we split apart. I went one way, and you went the other.
And then I lost you.
And you lost me. How did you find me?
I heard your voice.
No.
I heard his cough, and he has a very cough.
Oh, this is allergy season.
And I also heard you breathe. Like when I was.
That's kind of creepy. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, I might have been wheezing. It was rough. Yeah, none of you all were there, but I think you might have had some kind of similar experience. So you were able to tell my distinctive cough. Normally, it's a distinctive voice.
He has a very distinctive sneeze, too.
Good to know.
Edible.
So when you can't see your mom or dad, can you tell it's their voice, do you think?
Nope. Sometimes I just hear
yes. Benny says yes. Benny's doing a solid helping out right now.
He doesn't understand voices because I'll be talking and he thinks I'm Cameron.
Yeah, we're talking about the good shepherd. You hear the voice of the shepherd. I don't know, I mean, the shepherd knows the sheep, but that's not the point of where I'm going.
So who's the shepherd? I think I want to be
you
a sheep.
You recognize the voice of your parents. You've gotten to know them, right? You have not known. Hi, my name's Daddy. Then you know, do you hear your mom's and your dad's voice? Either one, you can pick them out of a crowd, you think?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can pick what they look like because a lot of people look like mom, and I'll like follow some random lady who's like blonde and wearing a sweater, and then I realize it's not mom.
Oh, yeah.
But you moved past that.
Sandy, I was like, I was following.
Yeah, we lost him.
I was following this lady that I thought was mom, and I was like telling her random stuff because I was trying to tell mom.
Sometimes your stories, I think, are stories more than memories. Well, Jesus told his disciples that, and he tells us now, that when we come to know him and love him and know that he knows and loves us, we recognize his voice as the Good Shepherd. And as Liana points out, he hears your voice too. And I need to work on that, apparently, of being able to discern my children's voices. Fair enough.
Can you tell if I cough or Cameron cough?
Absolutely not.
See?
Let us pray. Lord, Good Shepherd, help us to hear your voice. And you know that sometimes we don't. And sometimes we have selective hearing. And we hear it, but we do not listen. Guide us as you must into right paths. Help us to lie down in green pastures and beside still waters, and be still and know that you are God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
I just want to be a sheep. I'm not breaking out into the song this week. It's catchy, but I'm not feeling that one. I'll say why not later, some other time. But give me a good shepherd. The good shepherd. Sign me up. Just want to be a sheep. Lead me indeed into green pastures beside cool waters. I love that stuff. But the shepherd and the goodness of the shepherd are indispensable. Because it can go well or it can go south real quickly with sheep. Contrary to popular belief, they're not really stupid animals. Researchers have determined they can recognize as many as 50 human faces and recall them up to 2 years later. But because they have good memories, it's important for their well-being that these be as positive of memories as possible for their development. They form, essentially, friendships. Rams will intervene on behalf of weaker companions and defend them in fights. They're capable of many different emotions, among them happiness, but also fear and anger and despair and even boredom. Sheep like routine and bristle a bit at trying new things, so it requires substantial practice and patience to effect change among them. They don't respond well to loud noises or yelling. They move better when they're afraid, when they're not afraid, but they're in a slow, calm-paced environment. They're social. They gravitate toward other sheep. They also will devour their own environment, the detriment of themselves, their own kind, and other species unfortunate enough to be around them when they are left entirely to their own devices. The more I learn about sheep, the more convinced I am of Jesus' wisdom in comparing the human species to sheep. But it can be a hard metaphor to buy into, right? Age out of a certain Sunday school song or songs, and a lot of folks don't want to be associated with sheep. more and more the last 2 decades, and especially in the last one, intensified by the response to the COVID pandemic, it became the go-to dismissive. Oh, don't be like the sheep. You must be one of those sheeple. I got awfully tired of it, hearing it. And finally, a voice of reason broke through in July of 2020 with what resonated to me and with me as a perfect response. Sheep is a strange insult for Christians, of all people, I might add, to use, said Stephen Hill, a Christian himself, on Twitter. And he added, and insults are strange things for Christians to use. Now, as time has worn on these last almost 4 years, I grumble a bit about the second part, I will admit. I want to dissect it sometimes to justify some really clever and cathartic insults, but I never said I was perfect. The first point Mr. Hill makes definitely still stands, though. Like it or not, we have a lot in common with sheep, not the least of which is that natural penchant for self-destructive behavior in the absence of any clear and firm guidance. It's quite evident in the nightly news features from war-stricken corners of the globe and in the dysfunction of the overwhelming majority of political discourse. People and sheep are both in need of a powerful voice. Again, not yelling or needing to be the loudest in the room. That's not what is meant here by powerful. Calm, but firm, truly trustworthy is the right tone to strike. Because there are plenty of options available when interested in following a leader just for the sake of having one and being led. Leaders, technically speaking, because they will get plenty to follow, but not in the admiral sense of the word. Those happy to lead as many as it takes to their own doom for their own benefit. In the herding realm, it's grown less common through the years, but there still exists the practice of the Judas goat. Some of you have probably spent more time with farm animals than I have. This was new to me in doing a little research this week. The Judas goat is an animal trained to incorporate themselves among the sheep or the cattle and to gain their trust, eventually leading them to the slaughter, hence the name. Right? The term is pretty obvious. They betray their sheep just as Judas betrayed Jesus. Let's just say there are plenty of willing volunteer Judas goats in our society. Well, I just want to be a sheep. A sheep who can trust in the shepherd that I follow. I don't want to be stolen or stolen from or to be killed or to be ultimately destroyed. So where do I go? Well, here's what the standard Sunday school response that comes in real handy. Jesus, yes. But my sheep friends, it goes deeper than that. For Jesus, as the Gospel of John tells us, has other sheep that do not belong to this, our fold. We don't seem to handle that well. Humans, I mean. I don't know how much sheep concern themselves with their shepherd holding another flock elsewhere. Not much, I would suspect. But humans really like to know who is in and who is out. It's a burning desire, really, sometimes viewed quite literally as who will forever burn and who will not. And I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. I've tried to play that game. I tried it for too long, for too many years. It's exhausting. I'm never going to figure that out. Martin Luther, the reformer himself, wrote of both a visible and invisible version of God's church. In the interest of what we're talking about in this space after our worship service today, Lutheranism 101, permit me to quote from what I thought was a very concise summary of Luther's distinction there, as it comes from the website of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. In short, visible churches are those gatherings of people where you might find believers and unbelievers and hypocrites. You can see who belongs in those churches. By contrast, only believers in Christ are part of the invisible church. And because only God can look into a person's heart, only God knows who is a member of that church. Now, where the Wisconsin Synod and I are going to differ greatly, I'm afraid, is who we might pick to be the most likely and unlikely suspects from our perspective for members of that hidden church. But that isn't my job. I just want to be a sheep. That's what I was getting at, awkwardly, admittedly, in the invitation to the altar table for communion last Sunday, and what I hope to express every Sunday, if not explicitly. Neither I nor anyone who presides or assists at the table can have the proper authority to say who can come and who cannot. The host of the meal is the Good Shepherd whom we hear of today, who laid down his life for us and for so many who came before us and will after. I'm not going to check IDs, credentials, baptismal certificates, or anything of the sort. It wasn't always like that. That's the only admittedly visible church that I have ever known or ever been a part of. Here I stand. I can do no other. As Luther kind of said, it's a bit of a paraphrase, an abbreviation of the quote. But I get asked with some frequency, is person A or B or C going to be saved? And I don't think I can honestly say. As an evangelical convert in my early 20s, I could certainly point to the so-called sinner's prayer as a litmus test, nice and neat and clean. But it never stopped making me itch to hear that. It didn't seem right. It didn't seem fair. It did not seem just. And I've come to learn that God isn't always fair, from at least where I stand. From what I can see, the parable of the laborers of the vineyard, for instance, is quite clearly unfair. But I think the challenge that Jesus poses in this parable, and in cluing us in that as a good shepherd and not a false one with ulterior motives like the Judas goat, is that we have to let that go. And it's hard, because it forces us to deal in paradox and strive to be accepting while also holding fast to some very critical things. What is absolutely critical and what is not is a point of departure at many levels of faith, creed, and denomination. We should not be patently offensive, obviously, but I suspect that to hold on to something of value and substance in the end, we have to permit ourselves to some extent to offend. What that looks like for me in my journey of faith, I will not speak for yours, is that I think there are Jews, there are Muslims, there are Buddhists, there are atheists who will not see the eternal fires of hell. I don't know that anyone, literally anyone, does or needs to. Rob Bell wrote a beautiful book in 2011 called Love Wins, and I love how simple and honest his writing is. And he took a lot of flack, and he got himself uninvited from many Christian circles that he previously ran in, largely because he opened the door to and entertains the possibility of universal salvation. Now, he doesn't endorse it. He makes clear and rational points for why that also might not be the case, and how ultimately it's a bit presumptuous to say we can so clearly know one way or the other. It's ambiguous. And ambiguity is often discomforting, living in gray and not a black and white world, for there are many, many shades of gray. But it strikes me as the most authentic approach to following God, the Good Shepherd. I'm confident in my faith that God knows me and I know God, and I know God to be inexplicably explained as the three in one. The Father, his Son, Christ Jesus of Nazareth and Galilee, and the Holy Spirit of wisdom and truth. Mystery. We'll get to that mystery in a few weeks, Trinity Sunday. It's all beyond the capability of my understanding, and it's beyond the capability of anybody as I understand it. And so I believe that I need to be humble. I don't hear the voice of the Good Shepherd saying, "You need to be my enforcer on the boundaries of my kingdom." What I hear is that God relates to God's people in ways that are different, in which I do not understand, but I also don't need to understand. I try to apply a few important principles to faithfully following God in Christ as the Good Shepherd. Number one, I am wrong. Seriously, I firmly believe every human being's theological understanding is some varying degree of wrong. Maybe it's between 0.00001%, somehow doubt that, and equally close to, if not totally equal to, 100% wrong. I'm much more confident on the latter end of that range. But nobody has figured God out, or else God then ceases to be God, I fear. A mentoring pastor to me once preached, and this was more than 20 years ago, so it really stuck with me. But he preached his golf course on-the-spot answer to a question of what he truly believed, beyond all the doctrine and all the stuff you're supposed to say. And that's what our view of God is like, looking up at the stars with the naked eye. It's so limited compared to what can be seen through a telescope, which gets closer and it gets a clearer picture, but it's still not quite there. Another thing is that I would wholeheartedly endorse the principle the Reverend Easton Williams, a United Methodist pastor in Texas, gave when he responded to a reporter for their story about his church conducting same-sex marriages in 2016. The Reverend Williams said, "I'd rather be excluded for who I include than included for who I exclude." Well, sometimes I put it, I'm going to err. If I'm going to err, I'm going to err on the side of grace. Maybe in the end I'm wrong. But I believe God will forgive me and accept that my intentions were good. And if not, I will have so profoundly misunderstood the God of the universe that I don't know what I'll do then. I'll just have to cross that bridge when it comes. If it comes. I hope it never does. And this is all fine and well in the context of religious pluralism in the world that we live in today, but I see no other way to draw a line and to be authentic than to admit I take at face value the words of Jesus that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So I believe that there are ways that aren't necessarily the path for me, but there are other ways that one may connect with God without calling God maybe by the same name or the names that I do. But the spirit and the heart connection are there. That's between God and the shepherd's sheep in another flock that I hope and believe that someday will be brought all into one fold, as is said in today's gospel. Now, the knock is that it can be seen in this pluralistic society to be disrespectful to another's belief, that to believe their path to God has to come through my way of faith, who is Jesus Christ. It's condescending. It's been said. And I hear that. I understand the argument. But I'm also yet to find any satisfying way around it. It's hard to navigate without stepping on somebody else's toes and yet to remain true to oneself without offending someone somewhere. There's crosses to bear go. I feel like this is a much lighter one in the grand scheme of things. But I'm willing to listen to other perspectives. It's a quote often attributed to Thomas Merton. He didn't say it, but somebody wise did. And that's that if the you of today does not find the you of 5 years ago to be a heretic, you probably are not growing in your faith. I just want to be a sheep. I want to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd, not a bad shepherd masquerading as someone and something that they are not. I want to see all of the other sheep here with me, coming into the same fold, but I can't. Not now, anyway. So I want to let that go as best for me and as is best for them. Because if I can't, then I truly can't enjoy those green pastures and cool waters. Not without my mind tuned out and not ready to let that is my mind, go. It's not yet, anyway. Bah. Amen.